Hi, how are you guys doing? All right, for those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Marcus. It's really, really awesome to be here today. I am like Christine a little bit, and I'm going to say you think about something right now. My favorite store is Costco, and it's because I spent a lot of time there. I don't know why, it just is. I even had these dreams of when I was younger that, you know what the perfect wedding venue would be? Would be Costco. Because, like, you could do everything at Costco. Like, you could have an event there. And you know what? I have to admit, in my college days, when I was a young undergrad over at Menlo College, I got a Costco membership. And I thought to myself, hey, this is a great place for a date. Because, like, you know, back in the day when you went to college, you didn't have a lot of money. And what you do is you could, like, take the person to Costco, right, and you walk around, and it generates a lot of different conversation. And so when you're looking at, oh, look at the decorations, and look at this, and look at that, and then say your date happens to be hungry. It's all good, because they got this thing called samples. And you're going to go ahead, take all the samples you want. You're walking through, and maybe she's tired. Maybe your date is hungry at the end. It's okay, I got $3. And we could do a hot dog and a drink, and it's great. And then you go on to the movies, and you've had a nice date and a whole engaging time. But lately, I've noticed that Costco's gone a little bit besides themselves. And I don't know, like, if you notice, they decorate things for Costco depending on what's going on. And so, you know, during the springtime, there's things that are up. They kind of put things up for celebrating the baseball teams and stuff, or actually spring tends to lead to summer. And summer, for whatever reason or another, it goes like July, kind of back to school, right into Halloween, which leads to this season of disrespect of where we are now. It seems like somewhere along the line, Thanksgiving just gets totally disrespected. We go from Halloween in retail to Christmas. No kind of Thanksgiving. They maybe have some autumn colored like plates out and a turkey, and that's it. And you have Thanksgiving, it goes right into buy the gifts and everything. So I would like to address the fact that sometimes our culture is quite disrespectful to a wonderful day of Thanksgiving, which is actually quite uniquely American in how we celebrate it in our traditional sense. And this country is maybe, it's open to a lot of critique, but sometimes I have to look at our traditions and go, Thanksgiving, that's a good one. What better time is it for us to sit down and slow everything down as a culture and go, hey, let's reflect and let's be thankful. And as Christine mentioned earlier, we're quite thankful for this season, because at Spark, we are coming off a very busy few weeks. Like, we had that outstanding retreat last week, wrapped up the Garden to Garden series, and we partnered with Etz and heard from civil rights leader George Shinhoster, and keeping with the uniqueness of Spark, we hosted a conversation with Adam Tomlinson, Lois Tvorberg, who is an author and a Grammy-winning award hip-hop artist. And for some of us who are well over the age of 40, a bunch of us went to the concert that Tuesday night and then went to the retreat that weekend. And you talk about some exhausted people. This is on top of the regular engagement that is part of the Church of Spark. Somehow all of these things happen just as we experience life in our community. And all these things were occurring as many of us in our community were just experiencing this thing called life. Some of us experience the passing of family members and are entering the first holiday season without them. Others of us are welcoming new family members by way of birth or engagement or adoption or even pet adoption. And you're entering your first holiday season looking forward to making different traditions and forging your own new path. And as a community, I believe last month we officially celebrated 13 years, which makes us teenagers. And which for me is personally wild, because like I just remember like one day, like Pastor Kevin and Danielle was like, hey, come over to the house. And there's a whole bunch of us sitting in their backyard. And now it's like 13 years later. Like, that is wild to me, because, like, that flew by. I don't even know what happened. Like, we are here at 13. And I'm personally thankful for Kevin and Danielle and Kevin, because like we go to a church where like we got an awesome kind of head pastor and Pastor Danielle, and like, you know, Kevin, who's done quite a bit of work and stepped away. So I know we don't normally do this, and we probably will never do this again in the history of Spark. But if you are appreciative of Spark, I just want to do this real quick. I got a small gift of appreciation for both of you. And just to say thank you guys for like 13 years of just awesomeness. So just real quick. Yeah. It's a very on Sparky thing to do. You know what I mean? We don't. There's very intentional about not elevating one person. But like, I also come from the Black church tradition where we kind of honor our pastors in a particular way. So it was just like, had to say thank you, because we are talking about gratitude and thankful today. And personally, I'm thankful for the 13 years of loving God and loving people. I'm thankful for the 13 years of upholding the reputation of God. I'm thankful for the 13 years of reconciling our relationships with God and other people and the community. I'm thankful for the 13 years of rescue, whether it's in the form of partnering with local organizations to address the lack of school supplies or other areas in our community, or I'm thankful for like the fact that our community partners with organizations like trying to house the unhoused. I'm very thankful for resurrection. Thankful for 13 years of evidence of that resurrection. No matter where you are, no matter where you are in the journey of faith, in some areas of our lives we thought were dead, and somehow you have new life again in this current season. During this time of the year, in particular with holiday plans, school breaks, volunteering at things like various food drives, toy drives, hygiene product drives, and the various celebrations at our workplaces, we can oftentimes forget why or what's the reason we celebrate the way we do. And today I'm going to do something a little unsparky, not outside of saying thank you, just a little bit, not too much, you know. Don't have a slideshow, but I am going to quote scripture. I'm going to make a definitive statement about scripture. So if it's too definitive or if it's wrong, we have a heresy fund, right?
That's right.
Okay. We have a heresy fund. All right. Hopefully it won't be too heretical. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go to scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I'm going to make this definitive statement, okay? Because the Apostle Paul, who's writing, writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, scholars tend to agree that Thessalonians was written by Paul, and the church tradition would tell us that Paul wrote this letter to Thessalonica, who were like a relatively new community. And as a community, with their focus on the way of trying to follow the way of Jesus, they may have faced some social ostracism from both Romans and the established religious traditions at the time. This was also on top of the confusion that they were expecting God to come back any day now, the way it was written. And I'm pretty sure they had that question that some of us have when we're young. I don't know how old some of us were when we came to know Jesus. But if you came to know Jesus at a young age, or maybe slightly older, or just yesterday, we've heard of this term called God's will. And I don't know if you've ever heard this in church circles, but you've ever asked that question, well, what is God's will for me? And in that area, we tend to ask, like, what is God's will for me in this area? What is God's will for me in that area? Like, if we're single, we're like, what is God's will for me to be forever partnered? If we're married, what is God's will for me to be forever partnered? just being sick, put it out there. All right. Like, what is God's will for my job? What is God's will for me as a parent? What is God's will for me as a non-parent? What is God's will for me to walk this out? And I'm pretty sure that that's what this new community was asking. What is God's will? And I truly believe that God's will for them is the same will for us. That in 1 Corinthians 5:18, God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances. This letter covers so many areas of conduct with the Thessalonians, and it says this: to give thanks, for this is God's will. Now, this seems like we could wrestle over it. It could be deeply profound. We could look up the Greek word for thank you, which I believe is tota, and then we could look up the Hebrew word for thank you, which is tota, or we could look up the ancient Greek word, which is eucharista, and we could like examine that scripture. We could take it apart. We could go like, what did Paul mean when he said that give thanks in all circumstances? I don't even think it's that deep. I think that is God's will for us. That despite all of our circumstances, we should be thankful. And what is it about being thankful or showing gratitude that has like positive impacts on our life? I'm not gonna spend too much time on it, but I did a quick search on a popular research engine. And for those of you who don't know, I'm not gonna mention his name. Some of y'all work for it, you know, but we ain't, you know. You know, some of y'all work for it. You know, for those of you guys who don't know, part of my spiritual journey and everything, being a pastor, youth pastor, and all that other stuff, led me to the world of mental health. I'm currently an associate marriage and family therapist. I got all my hours in. I'm praying for the state of California to say, take the test. So I look at, like, a lot of different things, like the brain. And what's been fascinating to me as of late, especially in this season, is, like, the power of gratitude and being thankful. And what is it about that in this context? And like I said, I'm not going to spend too much time with it, but there was a cool definition. It said it can be defined as a positive emotional response that we perceive while giving or receiving a benefit from someone. And I thought to myself, well, that's awesome. Big words for it's actually helpful for us to be thankful. It is beneficial. That there were several studies. I actually like got a little fascinated by it and was going to get real geeky and talk about the neurotransmitters and the dopamine that's all released from our minds from being thankful, from looking at different things and having appreciation for it. But I thought, what if God knew this a long time ago? And the practice of slowing down and recognizing the good in our lives has benefits because naturally our brains are quite wired for survival. I mean, think about it. Like, depending on your personal algorithm and the comment section that follow that personal algorithm and the echo chamber that follows the comment section in that personal algorithm, you would think that this world is out to get us in everything. It would have us think that anybody who does not think like us, who's not in our club, this kind of natural tribalism we have is out to get us. It would have people who are not from certain areas of this country think that other areas of the country are these godless places. For example, there are people that may think that we here in the San Francisco Bay Area don't even have a concept of what church is. That there are people who think that, like, for whatever reason or another, Jesus is in their part of the country, but not here. Like, I've never understood it. We've literally had people say to me on a trip one time at about another major city that the person was so surprised when he went to the city of Chicago because he thought that it was all, like, this debaucherous place, that everyone was nice there, that he met people who follow Jesus there. We were in, I believe, North Dakota when this happened, and I was like, wow, this is wild to me. And it's really a situation of like, what if we're thankful and know it? But we're just wired for survival, and we're always on the lookout. And so it's usually the most eye-popping things in particular that catch our attention, and those things happen to like get us in our sympathetic our nervous system, where we're like, ooh, I've got to survive. And we're always looking around. And somehow God says, going back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think it's safe to say that God wants us as his people to be thankful in all circumstances. And in doing this, it's a way of us loving God. Last time I was here, I was able to give a few words of encouragement to Spark as a whole. And I was briefly able to read the lyrics of the Walter Hawkins and Love Center choir out of Oakland song, Thank You. Now, if you are of a particular church tradition, this song was sung today. If you have ever been to a black church with a choir, them folks were singing the song, Thank You. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. If you've been anywhere with the choir, they were probably singing this. This song was probably sang a lot today. And yeah, it's a simple song that reflects God's will of wanting us to be thankful in all circumstances. This song got really popular in the late 80s, early 1990s. And I imagine that first when I first heard the song, and for if you hear it, you're like, oh, you know, they're talking about some adverse circumstances. But then I thought about being a small child in the late 80s, early 1990s. The song has a particular meaning for me because, like many black Americans of a certain age, the grandchildren of black families who were impacted by the policies of redlining, the song came out during the peak period of the crack era, the late 80s and early 90s, in which, in addition to which drug addiction came an uptick in crime, social challenge, and disproportionate laws and tough on crime policies that we still are affected today. This would mean that in cities with sizable black American populations at the time, somebody personally knew someone with crack, I mean, who was affected by the crack cocaine epidemic. Anecdotally, I went to a predominantly black small private Christian school in Compton, California. And at that time, the population of Compton, California was 42.2% African American, which means that it felt like there was black people everywhere. But with that, we saw a lot of evidence of the crack cocaine epidemic. And all of my classmates knew or had a relative, aunt, uncle, grandparent, parent, who had either consumed crack cocaine or had some involvement with crack cocaine. The same went for certain cities all across America. And then in 1990, Walter Hawkins and the Love Center Choir out of Oakland, California, which at the time had a 44.2% African-American population, this song was part of an album that would stay on top of the gospel charts, I believe, for 33 weeks. For consumers of gospel music at the time, during the early 1990s, this song must have resonated incredibly deeply. The lyrics of the song went like this. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of disease, people are slipping away. Economy's down, but people can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Folks without homes living in the streets, and the drug habit, some say, just can't be beat. Muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe, but you've been my protection every step of the way. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And then it goes into the chorus. It could have been me, and they reply, thank you. Outdoors, thank you. No food, thank you. And no clothes, thank you. Without a friend, thank you. Or just another number, thank you, with a tragic end. But you didn't see fit, thank you, to let none of these things be. Thank you. Because every day by your power, thank you. You keep on keeping me, thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And then if you get the opportunity to hear it, it just goes off. It is in the black choir tradition. There's a lot of like ad-libbing and everything. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful song. So much so that people who actually re-perform the song do the ad-libs as if it's part of the song. But it's a really interesting situation. For consumers of, for consumers of gospel music at the time, that probably spoke deeply to us. These were people saying, thank you. Thank you, God, despite for having a relative or multiple relatives struggling with addiction. The song was saying, say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, despite going to a church that might have been across the store from a liquor store in an open-air drug market. And these folks went to church in these traditions. The song was saying, thank you, Lord, despite living in communities with a large number of young men who will be disproportionately affected by either selling drugs to their own community or later face incarceration for long periods of time. The song was saying, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me," while many of the pastors and community leaders in some of these areas were crying out for government intervention, only to be handed down disproportionate sentences for crack possession versus cocaine possession. Because the song encouraged communities to say, "Thank you, Lord, because of all you've done for me." They recognized it was God's grace and sovereignty that kept them protected or kept them away from the impacts of what was common affliction at the time, and for and which was really common to black communities in America. It was God's will for their lives, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to say thank you underneath some incredibly difficult circumstances. And we see that is probably in a faith tradition from our own. I don't know what it was like to be an early Hebrew or an early Israelite, but to say thank you in spite of, or to celebrate in spite of some of the unideal conditions. Being out from Egypt and you're going through it, and then you're like in the desert where it's hot for 40 plus years, and you remember where you were. Food seems to be scarce, and you say, thank you. And I believe that that is the forerunner for many things today. It was God's will for our Hebrew brothers and sisters, just like some of us who come from certain circumstances in America, to look at very dire and bleak circumstances and recognize who or where they got them from, and later to celebrate that some of their relatives, I forgot to mention this, but it was really neat because some people were saying thank you and believing God for things, only later to have maybe a couple relatives be free from crack cocaine addiction. Only now to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And I want to say, Spark, that according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I believe that we should say thank you. Thank you for some of you who walked into Spark Church, that you were burnt out from a previous church experience. Or some of you in this room, this was the last stop. You was like, if it ain't here, if I don't meet you, God, in this place, well, it's curtains for church altogether. I could do independent fellowship. And only now for you to say, thank you, Lord, for a Spark in this church family. I want to contend for you today, Spark, that it's God's will for you to say, thank you, Lord, for a community where the children are part of the main worship service, where they can sing and dance, because it's a community where children are valued and not just shuttled off to some room. I would argue, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that it's God's will for us to say thank you as a church community, where the blessing of the children by the laying of hands is a weekly practice. Spark Church, I would argue that according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that it's God's will for us to say thank you, Lord, for a place where you can sit down and have coffee with any of the pastors and disagree with them, and you're not off the island. I would say that it's God's will for us to say thank you, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we share space with the synagogue, who our pastors had started a relationship with. And when they said they were starting a church, they said, just do it there. Like, didn't even think twice that we share space in traditions, we share space in the communities that have traditionally had beef with each other. That's kind of wild. Yeah. I want to say it's God's will, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for us to say, thank you, Lord, despite the immense cost of living in the Bay Area, we are still a community. I would argue that according to God's will in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we say thank you, Lord, for even for challenging us in ways that for some of us we had what they call bad thinking. I know that for me personally, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I'm really glad that one day I may have heard a sermon or a couple of sermons that reframed and changed my mind or thinking about those in the gay and lesbian community. because for the longest time, at least for me personally, I just saw some inconsistencies what I was being taught. I'm like, okay, you're made in the image of God and you know, love God and love people, and yet it seems like there seems to be some inconsistency by saying throw these people off the island, or the idea of, wait, love the, like, you know, the classic saying, like, love the sinner but hate the sin, but I'm like, did they ask for that, Jesus? You know, I'm just trying to figure it out, and even now as we wrestle it out, I say thank you, God, for the fact that we were open enough as a community to say, hey, maybe I ain't got this right. Maybe there was time and space for us to say, hey, here's the doors that are open and welcome in everybody. That it's not my job to judge you or anything like that. And that you are welcome in the kingdom. You, your family, your dog, everybody's welcome into the family of the kingdom of God, because that's not my job. Amen. And I would say thank you, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that it's God's will for us to say thank you, Lord, for this incredibly educated and loving scholarly pastorly staff. I would say, Spark, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we should say thank you, Lord, for putting it in Pastor Danielle's heart when she was like 13 that she was going to be a pastor in a time where it wasn't popular for women to be pastors. Amen. I would say thank you, God. Thank you. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, thank you, Lord, for Kevin Nooner, who does sometimes everything. I don't know if you observed him last week at the retreat. This man was in the band doing sound, setting up stuff, moving things, partway cooking dogs. I mean, this man, my man was doing everything. And he stepped off of staff. How you step off of staff? Say you're not a pastor and do everything that a pastor does. So I say, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we should be thankful for Pastor Kevin. Amen. I should say, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all circumstances, I forgot that Tanai Shay didn't even go to our church. I'm so used to him being here and whatnot. I was like, oh, wait, that's right, Jesus. He ain't even from here. You know what I mean? But we've been blessed to have this man and Junior and all of lead us in worship in high quality standards. So, like, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is God's will for us to say thank you for the circumstances that brought Tanaishe to our community. I want to say it is according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we got Pastor Omer. I mean, dude, he's like, y'all ever listen to him talk? I'd be like, I don't even know. Like, is that how he makes the whole thing with the word in the dictionary that I can't even pronounce, but he didn't break it down. Like, we got a whole former, like, Stanford professor teaching us things about the Bible, and that one day God saw fit to, like, bring that brother out, and then, like, whole family involved. I mean, goodness, you got the kids up there doing worship. They done doing everything. You know what I mean? Wife giving announcements and what's not like that. I mean, just your whole family involved. So thank you for Pastor Omer. Thank you, like, according to 1 Thessalonians... Right on. We see you, Pastor Omer. All right. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I'm thankful for the Arringtons. I mean, Pastor Tom. I mean, y'all, some of y'all missed them early days. Like we would be at their house so much. I mean, and even with us as the, like, when we were wrestling coaches, they'd be like, here you go. In fact, we had dinner the other way to Nyashe and went to the Arringtons' house. Y'all don't know, like, we didn't had ice cream fees there, baptisms, birthday parties. I mean, in Atherton, California, the second most expensive zip code in the U.S. I mean, that's wild to me. And we just be over there fellowshipping, having a good time and whatnot, not even knowing that, like, goodness gracious, Steph Curry done lived up the street and whatnot. I'm not saying he lives up the street from them. Don't go around looking for Steph Curry, but I'm just simply saying that, I mean, I am thankful for that. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that's a wonderful circumstance. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I don't know if y'all got to check this out. We've had Pastor Christine Young in this pulpit, and Pastor Chris, sorry about that, and because I wrote it down wrong here, up here, And I don't know, if y'all had a chance last week, you know, I've seen her teach. I'm like, oh, man, she's really good. Man, y'all got to check her out when she's teaching the kids. It's the same thing. I'm like, what? I'm listening to the story of the living water, like, oh, this is good. Now, I done heard the story a whole bunch of times. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, these kids don't know what they're getting. I'm like, I wanted to be like, y'all pay attention. Look at this, you know. But I didn't want to do the whole old black church thing where, you know, you get all disrespectful and be like, y'all pay attention to that good teacher. Y'all don't know what you're getting. But so thank you for Pastor Christian Young. Man, I want to say, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is God's will for us to be thankful and say thankful for Pastor Mark and his faithfulness to our kids. I mean, just, again, another great intellectual mind and everything, and he does it with such, like, some people, if you really think about it, a lot of people take children's ministry and youth ministry and they parlay it to whole other churches and their own thing. They write books and curriculum. And God saw fit to put in Pastor Mark's heart this, like, not only gifting, and he melts the Catholic traditions with it, and it's just awesome. And somehow, in his 40-plus-year-old body, he's still able to do all the motion songs, jumping and whatnot, because my knees have hurt a long time ago. And Lord knows, like, we are so grateful for it. And then I got to say this one. She's not here today. I haven't seen her yet. But Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, thank you for Debbie Chang. My God. Woo! She holds it down. I mean, what doesn't she do? Again, like Pastor Kevin, he tried to replicate himself and then got somebody. I mean, everything. Like, everything. But only thing she hasn't done is teach. But she done set up announcements, trips, coordinate events, small groups, and all that other good stuff. And I'm just simply saying, Spark, thank you for this wonderful community. Because despite all the things that are going on, I mean, because some of us have real life going on. Some of us have got sickness going on. But we can say thank you. Some of us got relatives that ain't acting right. And we can say thank you. 5 years ago, this was wild to me, because I started thinking about this. I'm saying thank you because 5 years ago, we were worshiping on Zoom. Hi, Zoom. And we were sheltered in place. And we were facing a holiday season with some uncertainty. And some of us, or some of y'all, including me, y'all broke norms. Y'all went to places that the government said, don't go. And now, again, this is not one of them, like, anti-government. But you needed to be with people in such a way during the holiday season, and you went to do it. And now, like, we're still here. And I want to say thank you for the pivot that Spark Church did, because 5 years ago, it's wild to think that we were predominantly meeting online, and we're still a community. And I believe that according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we were saying thank you for that. Thank you for where we had been. Thank you for where we were at. And thank you for where we're going. So, I just want to say thank you, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that it is God's will for us to say thank you. Not only as a community, but as individuals, because there's so many things that we face. There's so many things that come our way that could have us leaving that belief. But when we do say thank you, when we do express gratitude, when we do pour out of our hearts to say, God, thank you for all you've done for me. Because I oftentimes think about that song, and it says, because it could have been me. Because it could have been me outside. It could have been me out there. It could have been me, no food. It could have been me with no clothes. It could have been me, just another number without a friend. It could have been me with a tragic end, but God didn't see fit. It could have been me to let none of those things be, because every day by God's power, we are a community. Every day, God's power, you are alive. And every day by God's power, we get to say thank you in all circumstances. So we're going to move into our time of communion right now. And I want to say thank you, God, but thank you for this community, and thank you, Spark Church. All right. So on the night that God was, Jesus, he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, eat this in remembrance of me. And he also drank wine and said, eat this in remembrance of me. And so I would say, let us continue in worship as we do communion.